Why are we here? Why does this church exist? Why do you exist? And one of the things I want to get into our collective consciousness and our collective thought is that we're here to know Jesus and we're here to share Jesus. That's it. There's a lot of people that there's a lot of purpose statements and things, but it always bothers me when they never use the name of Jesus. Love people, love God. Well, no, we're here to know Jesus and love him and serve him. We're here to share Jesus. Amen? That's what it's all about. I want to challenge you. Even a lot of people on vacation today, it's like everybody gets their last few in last couple of weeks in September. But next week is a great time to bring somebody and to be a part of reaching out. But I want to challenge you today about your passion to win the lost. Where's your passion to win the lost? How driven are you personally when you see our society falling apart? First Choice Clinic is a great answer to a problem. The church looks at us, rather than protesting, getting angry, we come up with a better way of doing things. And people come to know Jesus. Amen? We can look at our culture, we can whine about our culture, we can be upset about things, but if we're not willing to be proactive and reach the lost, because we cannot win this thing through the right person in the presidential office, or we cannot win it by legislating righteousness, all we become is law-giving Pharisees when we expect the world to follow God's laws without the Holy Spirit. We need to be people filled with the Holy Spirit. God's got so much for us. God's got so much for us. We are here, not as a business, but we are here as people of God, ambassadors of heaven. Amen? Now this brings us to where we are in the book of Acts. We're going through the book of Acts, and we're in Acts chapter 16, but one of the things we did was we skipped Acts chapter 15. Why? I wanted to. But let me get you caught up on what happened in Acts chapter 15. The Apostle Paul comes back from his missionary journey. He goes to the church in Jerusalem and gives a report of all the wonderful things the Lord did. And one of the things that was happening is that they had to have an emergency council because some people from Jerusalem were sneaking out and going to where Paul preached the gospel and other people were preaching the gospel and telling all these non-Jews that all the men had to be circumcised and nobody could have a bacon, lettuce, and cheese or whatever. You know, they couldn't have any, they had to follow the food laws and all this different stuff. And the church freaked out. Could you imagine that? That was the altar call that day. All the guys up here. It's a little rough on church growth when you do that. They threw the churches into confusion, and this really ticked off the Apostle Paul, so they went back and they had a council, and they were going to send back a letter that told them, okay, guys, that was a bunch of hooey. That's not true. We are set free by Jesus Christ and by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection, not because we follow a bunch of rituals from the Old Testament. Those rituals are only a shadow of the things that are to come. The reality is found in Christ. Amen? So they have this council. All these things are... But something happens after this council. Let me catch you up at the end of 15, which changes kind of the landscape a little bit. Acts chapter 15, verse 36 says this. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." But Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. Now, you read a few chapters back, Mark kind of deserted them. He headed back home to mama and let Barnabas and Paul go on their journey. But look at verse 38. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. They had to overcome their personal difficulties. The first barrier here was they had to overcome their disagreement among believers. Good thing that's never happened here. Both Paul and Barnabas didn't allow this disagreement to stop them. They did not allow bitterness to get into their hearts. They were upset with each other. They're angry. They had a disagreement. But they continued in the work of the Lord. They continued to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, are you willing to remove every hindrance and every barrier in your life and every hindrance so that you can walk into things of God? Are you? You're all real quiet. Let's go to Acts chapter 16 now. Let's look at some things they had to do. Verse 1. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. The disciples were there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, hold on just a minute. You want me to go on a mission trip with you, and you want a what before we go? Huh? Now, what's the deal here? This is not a matter of salvation. Paul wasn't worried about Timothy being born again. He was already born again. He was already filled with the Holy Spirit. He was a guy that spoke in tongues. It was a guy that was well spoken of. But there was something that would be a hindrance to the people to where they were going. They were always going to go, first of all, into the Jewish synagogue and proclaim the gospel and then preach to the Gentiles that were there. And one of the hindrances would be is if this young man wasn't circumcised. So I ask you today, what are you willing to do to preach the gospel to somebody? Oh, Pastor, you're making me nervous. The gospel message must remain clear and clean. And they're willing to remove all kinds of hindrances. One of the things that Christians, I don't believe a Christian can do. I don't believe a Christian can drink alcohol. No milk, pop, water, knock yourself out. Why? Why shouldn't Christians drink alcohol? Well, first of all, it's stupid. I'm just making everybody mad. Why? It costs too much. And if you drink too much, you can cause a lot of trouble in your own personal life. And secondly, your children are watching you, and children always do what the adults do in moderation, they do in excess. Every young person has ever asked me when I talk to them about drinking, they always bring up the exact same argument. Well, do you? And it's always fun to go, no. Is it a sin to have a beer? No, you can't prove that from Scripture. Is it a sin to have wine at your meal at supper time? No, you can't prove that from Scripture. But the Scripture does teach us that we should do nothing that would cause another person to stumble. We have a room filled with people that used to be alcoholics, drug addicts, and all kinds of things. And one of the most discouraging things that anybody that is recovering from any of those things is to find Christians who love to have a few sips of wine. It throws them into confusion. Those of you who are from that situation, you know, would you agree with me? Look at all the hands around you. It's just like, what are they doing? The fact is, my freedom could destroy another person and ruin their family forever. Therefore, I should never cross that barrier. Plus, my children are watching. Plus, a can of Coke is a whole lot cheaper than a bottle of wine. Right? I mean... Jenna and now Graham are servers at a restaurant. And they see how expensive booze is. I mean, is it a sin at 0.08 or is it not a sin at 0.07? I mean, one of the things that's happening now is there are Christians who are getting together, they're having a few beers and a little bit of wine, and people are driving home being pulled over and getting tickets for driving under the influence. What a great witness. You could be ticketed for driving under the influence at 0.04, 0.02. It depends on how much has affected you. I mean, is this crazy or what? Another thing, my personal pet peeve. If you're a BC tattooer or an AC tattooer, okay. If you're a Christian and you're coming into Christ and you got tattoos, it's okay. Don't freak out. But if you're a Christian and think you're going to win the loss by getting some tattoos, you're crazy. The only thing the Bible ever talks about in tattooing is don't do it. There's a reference in Leviticus chapter 19. And it says, don't do this. So Christians go, but I want to just witness to my friends. No, what they're telling you is, I want to be like the world because I can't trust the Holy Spirit. But I want to identify with people. Well, what if you're full of tattoos in your elevator with two people that are 85 years old? And they look at you, who's that person? And plus, you can't go with us to Africa. Because in Africa, only the witch doctors get tattoos. Now, do you have tattoos before you came to Christ? That's part of your witnessing. This is what I used to be. Okay, this is what I used to be. I'm not going to walk in guilt over this. I haven't committed the unpardonable sin. But now that I've come into the light, I'm going to serve the Lord. My body is not my own. Amen? So there's plenty of people that, you know, tons of tattoos in this room. Tons of tattoos in this room. Have you committed a deep, horrible sin? No, but you have created a hindrance in your life towards going certain places in this world. We just can't take you there. We experienced that when we were last time in Africa. Somebody had just a little vine around their ankle, and people would just stand there and stare at this girl. Now, she wasn't a part of our team. It was added onto our team at the last minute. It was a cousin of somebody. And the people couldn't get over it because they figured she was a witch doctor. Wow. No. So, if you have them, don't freak out. Pastor John's not angry with you. God's not mad with you. But if you are a Christian and you start getting them, then that's a whole other issue. Because here's the deal. It never originated in the heart of God. All these rituals of stretching your earlobes, all these body strange distortions, all come, every last one of them, come from occultic demonic worship. That's the origin of them. So as Christians, we don't get involved with occultic demonic worship, correct? Amen. So if you've gone that far, I know Christians with big gauges in their ears and all this other stuff. I'm just saying, live in the light as He is the light. You're much prettier the way Jesus made you. Amen? I know. I always get to trouble every time I do this. But my question is what are you going to do? I know, you know, there's some people who go out and they do tattoo ministry. They actually prophesy over people. They look at people's tattoos and they look at them and they use them as a source of witnessing. I think that's cool. It's okay. But don't go get one. If you got them, okay, they're part of your testimony. This is where I was. I came to Jesus. That's what I used to do. Now I know Jesus. I've come into the light. Amen? Now, look at the result of circumcising Timothy. I mean, wow. Verse number 4. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decision that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Remember, people were going out telling them they had to be all this Jewish laws, and you can't eat ham, and you got to be circumcised. So they sent this letter, they delivered this letter, verse 5. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in numbers daily. Why? Because they did everything they could to remove every kind of hindrance and every kind of controversy so that Jesus might be exalted. Amen? We are to preach the gospel of peace. These people who go out with these signs and scream and holler at people, that is not the gospel of peace. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Westboro Baptist folks, God hates people and all this other kind of baloney. That's not God. And they're not even a close to being right. Okay? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Human will and effort will never bring about the kingdom of God. Our wisdom, our greatest idea, is nothing compared to God's power working through ordinary people to reach the lost. Only obedience to God makes the difference. Amen? Only adherence to the Word of God and following Him with all of our heart. Look at verse number 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit said, you're not going to... Let's show a map here. Let's have a little geography lesson. We've got a little map here. You see down there, there's Jerusalem, Judea, and how Paul went up over here. And you've got Asia up over here. That is what we call modern Turkey and Galatia. They've already planted churches there. And Paul was going to go from where it's called Galatia, Pamphylia, Cilicia, all those places. He already preached churches, and he was going to go. But the Lord said, no, don't go in there right now. Now, later on, it's going to happen, but right now, I don't want you to go. You see, in human wisdom, I know pastors who have started churches on this basis. We went and we did a demographic of the area, and we found out that people who were in our target group were not going to church there. Therefore, we went and went and started a church to reach the people in our target group, 24 to 35. No prayer, no guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was really encouraged at Fred and Beth's wedding. First of all, finally Fred married her. But there was an older gentleman there who was 84 years old, and he said that at the age of 77, that God had spoken to him to start a church in Rice, Minnesota. And I'm like, man, when I'm 77, I want to be like this guy. He goes, well, I'm getting a little older now. I'm 84, so I handed it over to a younger guy to take it over. But I got it up to 30, and it was stable, and praise God, I did what he told me. Wow! No one else could do it there. No one else was able to establish a church there. But a 77-year-old man said, all I know is hymns. I got really bad music, but I got a really good Savior. Amen? I know how to preach the gospel. I can't hardly sing. But I'm going to preach the gospel and let God do something because nobody's doing anything. Man, he would not allow the barriers to get in the way. And today, this morning, they're worshiping the Lord in Rice, Minnesota, in a little Assembly of God church. Amen? A 77-year-old guy. Never underestimate yourself. By the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, don't go. But doesn't God want us to tell everyone? Yes. But he wants you to do it in his timing, in his way. Without the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are left to our own devices, our own wisdom, our own strength. I want people to be in this church today because you sense the Holy Spirit pulling you. You sense, like Mark Pelzer said years ago, I hate this church, but I can't stop coming. I got it on CD, man. Actually on DVD, when you got baptized. That was his testimony. I hate this church, but I couldn't stop coming. Why? It had nothing to do with us. It had everything to do with the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus. And Jesus wants people to be saved. Every day Jesus says, who can I forgive? Some people would tell you that Jesus says every day, who can I squish like a bug because I'm so angry at everybody? No, he's saying, who can I forgive today? Amen? Look at verse 7. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. I mean, these guys just wanted to tell someone about Jesus, but the Holy Spirit kept saying no. Why? We have to be guided by the Holy Spirit, not our own ideas, not our own will. We need to be filled with God. Amen? Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. My question is, how dependent on the Holy Spirit are we? How desperate for his presence are we? You see, we can get really caught up in all kinds of good things in life. If you've got a family, you've got kids, you've got grandkids, you've got life. And that life can so just consume everything we do. But we have to take time to stop and say, how passionate am I for the presence of God? How desperate are we for him and our family? How desperate are we for him in our daily life? How much do we want God to guide our work day? Are we willing to get up in the morning and seek his face and call out on the name of Jesus and say, God, I can't make it through this day without you. I've got to have you. And throughout this day, I want to be a witness for you. I want to give you glory through the work I do. It doesn't matter the work. We have a work, I want to say it right. We have a job mentality in this world. If I have the right job, I'll feel good about myself. But the Bible teaches a work mentality, which says, get to work. Do something. That's what God honors. He honors hard-working, busy people. But people who stand up and provide for their family, provide for others, and give, and are generous, he blesses that. Don't think you can't do anything for God because you don't got the right degree or the right job or the right place. You've got the right Savior, and that's all you need. I'm a little weak on that one, people. Come on. The result is a direct result of the Holy Spirit. We look in verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and following day at Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. Man, you can go in your Bibles and read the book of Philippians. This is cool what you're going to see here right now. And after this, he writes them the letter of Philippians because they were in Philippi. He says, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. He remained in this city some days. And on the Sabbath day, where did they go? They went and met with the Jews. That's why they circumcised Timothy. Not because he wasn't going to heaven, but because it would be a hindrance for the Jews. They had this thing in their head. They just had to be that way. You know, when you go on a missions trip, you learn to do what they do. When we send our ladies to El Salvador and to the Central American countries, the women are all in our church have to buy dresses about this long. Why? Because if you wore shorts or you wore a pair of pants, you would offend the people and the gospel couldn't be preached. So you go out and buy cheap dresses and you wear them on your missions trips. Amen? When you go to Romania, ladies, you will sit on one side and the men will sit on the other side. And the women, you're going to put a covering on your head. I'm free in Jesus. Yeah, well, free in Jesus means that you're free to obey him and free from sin, and you become a living sacrifice that serves the living God, that does whatever it takes to win the lost. Amen? Amen. They wanted me to wear a suit coat and a tie the whole time. I thought I was dying when I was in Romania. Ugh. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, they went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women and that had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her whole household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. Now, let me just throw a little side. Can we take a rabbit trail? Here we go. Hope we get back. Some people who believe in infant baptism say, well, her whole household got baptized. Okay. That's called an argument from silence. I was at a car dealership one day waiting to get some stuff done for a car, and I started lighting up all the salesmen there and the business manager there. And I said, hey, I got $1 million bounty for you. Can you find me a scripture on baptizing babies? Because if you can, I'll give you $1 million. And he was I go, no, can't use that one. No, can't use that one. No, can't use that one. And I kept arguing, and he called his pastor up, his Lutheran pastor. Okay, which one should I use? He goes, oh, the one here in chapter 16, it says the whole household, because there had to have been babies there. Well, I said, well, you know what? I can also say that he had a pet elephant and he baptized them too. Because you can say anything from silence if you just make this stuff up. This woman gave her heart to Jesus. Her whole family saw the transformation. The whole family was touched and the whole family was baptized because of the power of God. They understood what they were doing. So no arguments from silence. Write that down. It's a good one. Okay? God begins to open the hearts of people to be saved. We cannot make this happen. Look what he said. And God opened her heart. God revealed to her. You need to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit to move on people's hearts. You see, if God isn't moving on their heart and you go to them and witness to them, it'll only make their heart harder. But when God is melting their heart, when God is moving in that situation, when the Holy Spirit is convicting them and you show up guided by the Holy Spirit, God then will open their hearts and they'll come to know Jesus Christ. Amen? I hate fishing. I love catching. The rest of you can go fishing. I'm going catching. Amen? Nothing worse. Us Johnsons, if it's more than 40 minutes of trying, we go home. Man, I'm into catching. I'm not into fishing. I want to catch stuff. And when we're guided by the Holy Spirit, we catch things. Amen? Now, Being led by the Holy Spirit result in Holy Spirit experiences. You get to see things happen that nobody else gets to see happen. I hear pastors talking like this. Oh, it was fabulous. We gave away free backpacks and free school supplies to everybody in our town, and our church was full. Really? How many of those people were there the next week? How many people got saved? Well, none. But boy, we really had a great day. We handed out free backpacks and pencils. Well, dude, you hand out free stuff. I'm showing up too, but I ain't showing up next week. I have people tell us this kind of stuff all the time. Now, is it good to do that? Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. Just knock yourself out. Had a good time. I'm going fishing. Catching, amen. What I'm saying is this. We can get so caught up into doing so many different things that draw a crowd that doesn't change anybody's life. We want to see people's lives change through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of Jesus Christ, through his resurrected power that works through us. Amen? Would we be willing to see just one saved if we did it God's way, versus having 100 show up that never got saved? Well, you know, but Pastor, that's, you know, yeah, I'm not sure. Because the 100 looks really good on paper. The one looks pretty pathetic. Unless that one was Billy Graham. That was pretty cool. Or Dwight L. Moody, or Charles Finney. You know what's really cool? Anybody ever go to Zumbrota on the way back, on the back way? County Road here. You go County Road 6 all the way. And right over, you go cross over County Road 9 heading for Zumbrota. Did you ever notice a sign called Finney there? Who saw that sign? Raise your hand. Do you know why that name is there? Charles Finney in 1850s came and had a great revival in that area, and the town was so touched by Jesus, they named the town after him. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I found it out. Now I know that. You see, God can do marvelous things in our area. God can pour out his Spirit and do legendary things, but we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen? You know what the problem with that little town is now? It doesn't exist. There's no trace of it. The Goodhue County Historical Society simply spent more of our tax money to put signs out where nothing exists. It's kind of like the turnover here to nowhere. Hey, there's nothing there. Let's make a turn to it. Government money at work. Woohoo! Yeah, let's not put a turn where the church and all kinds of people drive every day. Let's put it to nowhere. Thank you, government. We bless you in Jesus' name. But when we do Holy Spirit things, we get Holy Spirit experiences. Amen? I want Holy Spirit experiences. I don't want to spend my morning worrying about, is the coffee good enough? Verse 16. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. Can we go on another rabbit trail again? Here we go. Christians don't get into palm reading, fortune telling, Ouija boards, tarot cards, seances, any of that stuff. Do we not do it because it's not real? Oh, it's real. You can connect with real demon spirits. You know, I bring this up because Gary and Tina and their whole family now live in Baraboo. He just became a senior pastor there, and we went and visited a week ago, and we were in, because it's 20 minutes from Wisconsin Dells. I love going to Wisconsin Dells. I love those stupid stores, you know, the Indian Trading Post, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and we went and go, and so I took all the kids there, and Ruby wants all this stuff, and it's all occultic. You know, and then there's this, you know, ever seen the guy in the box?
I will tell your future. I will tell your future. Only 50 cents.
And, oh, I want to do it, Grandpa. Papa, can I do it? No, Christians don't do this, Ruby. Well, why? Because when you do it, you put yourself under demonic influence. And we don't do it. Oh. And right here, it talks about this girl had a demon spirit by which she could accurately foretell things. When you come under that, that thing will make it happen. And there's things that I don't quite understand about all this. All I know is demonic. And there are people who have these gifts. They need to bring them into subjection to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ humbled himself and made himself nothing. Therefore, we must have the same attitude in us as Christ Jesus. Read Philippians chapter 2. Submitting that gift unto God, otherwise that gift will begin to rule you and the Holy Spirit will not. Okay? It's very, very important. A slave girl had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Sounds like really good advertising. This is front page advertising. But what it really was Satan's attempt to associate the truth of the gospel with demonic practice of fortune telling. Satan's goal is always to mix the truth in order to dilute it and destroy it. You cannot use the world's methods and get God's results. We don't need the latest celebrity or the greatest sports hero to stand up and promote Jesus, because my Jesus isn't cool. He's God. And that's better than cool. Come on. Oh, if Aaron Rodgers would just serve Jesus, just think what would happen. How awesome it would be. You know what would really be awesome? If every person in this room decided every day, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I want to go out and live like a witness, and I want to live according to what the Word of God says, and I want to speak in tongues, and I want to lay hands on the sick, and I want to cast out devils, and God, until I do, I'll fast and pray and seek your face. God, I want what the Bible says. That is better than Aaron Rodgers. Amen? Some of you are struggling with that right now. Depends on how he plays this week. We love Aaron Rodgers. We want Aaron Rodgers to be saved. But you know what the first thing the Christian church would do? We'd put him up front as a celebrity the day after he got saved and think everything that came out of him was wisdom and smart. He would be a baby pooping in his diaper, spiritually speaking. Why do we put him up on stage? But we always do it because we think celebrities are something cool and great that'll advance the kingdom of God. No, it's not. They need to humble themselves and serve God. Amen? Oh, my. I'm getting crazy. Thanks, Mom. We need the power of God working through God's people. Oh, man. I'm hoping God's stirring you up right now. Look at verse 18. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very hour. Here's the deal. You either got the goods or you don't. And demons know it. If you are walking in the power of God, you don't have to shout, scream, turn around, flip over 14 times, pour some oil on somebody's head, do all kinds of stuff. You say, "In the name of Jesus, you come out." And that demon spirit knows you got the goods or not. They know whether or not you're a backslidden Christian. They know whether or not you got sin in your life. They know whether or not you are going to make it or not make it. They know whether or not you're walking in authority or not authority. And sometimes demons just go, "Really? Yeah, sure. Okay, great." That's what the demons are doing to many Americans. But God wants us to walk in power. And this power is a simple thing. When Ben and Hannah, stand up, turn around. It's my son and his wonderful wife, turn around. You may be seated. Do they look scary? Now, she is Sicilian. She, you know, the mob. But she is dangerous. But they don't look that scary, do they? But when they were in Africa, when we were in Uganda, and John Lee was there too, they stepped onto a witch doctor's property going, "I wonder where everybody went." And they're looking around, wondering what to, and the witch doctor runs out and says, "You get out of here. Get off my property." Why? Because the presence of Jesus was there. And the demons were freaking out. They didn't have to scream, holler, shout, rebuke, bind, anything. They just stood there.
Hello.
And a witch doctor freaks out. You see, you either got the goods or you don't. Amen? Wow. The world will love you if you'll do things the world's way and what the world wants. Jesus warned us about this. Look what he said back in John chapter 15, verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Oh, great. Thanks, Pastor Tom. I come here to get built up, and you tell me everybody hates my guts. The world hates the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world loves it when we hand out free backpacks to kids going to school. But the world hates it when we tell them that they need to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus, because there's a real eternal hell and there's a real Savior who has come and died on the cross for them so they can be free. The world hates that message. The church world hates it. When we're in a room like this and we're worshiping and they go, no one should be speaking in tongues. We don't want to hear you speaking in tongues. That's not for today. And they freak out over it. Well, here's the rule. If you're speaking to God, speak in tongues all you want. I don't need an interpretation. But if you're speaking to me, you better have an interpretation. How simple is that? That's like falling off a log simple. We had a person one time come to our church, came to our prayer meeting, and we were all just praying. We're praying in the Spirit. And that person had the most vicious, angry spirit on them. And they claimed to be a Christian. And they just attacked me. How dare you let people do that in church? That's not of God. That's not of God. And just went nuts on me. Wow. On the day of Pentecost, they all heard them and came rushing to the scene, wanting to know what's going on. Why do we always cover up the things of God? Why are we ashamed of the things of God? I don't want to be ashamed of the things of God. I want to be ashamed of the things of this world. I want to be ashamed of sin. I want it gone. I want to serve God. Amen? Four of us. Okay. Praise God. Doing things God's way is not always easy. Not always easy. Look what it says here. Verse 19. But when the owner saw that their hope for gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. We call it caning. Anybody caned your kid lately? Good, don't do it. It's not good. Take about a 5-foot rod and they pop it on your back. Pow! And when it hits you, it splits your skin open. Pow! You kind of get this little snap to it. It pops your skin wide open. Serving God is fun. Verse 23. And when they had inflicted many blows on them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safe. Having received this order, they put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. Now, this is not fun. Anybody signing up for this one? Hey, let's go on a trip where they're going to beat us till we bleed and we're going to sit in our own sewage for a while. Woohoo! Serving God is great! But what are you going to do? What are you willing to do to obey God? What are you willing to do what he's called you to do? Amen? How many are going to respond? When you've done everything that God has asked you to do, and it seems like everything goes from good to worse to even worse than that. Faith is trusting the God who has your life in his hands, and that he knows exactly what's going on. Amen? He knows what you need. He's already there in the future. He already knows. He's already arranging the circumstances. Will you trust him? Amen? Look at verse 16. This is their response to all this. My response would not be this dignified. Anybody else there with me? I'm upset right now. I'm angry. They just whip me. They crack me across the butt, my back of my legs, the back of my back. I'm bleeding, and I'm sitting in my old sewage with stocks. My feet clamp. I mean, these are not like the palaces that we have here for prisons. This was a prison 2,000 years ago. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Could you imagine this old stone prison? How throughout the chambers of this prison, at the middle of the night, have you ever been in the third world when they turn the lights out? Man, it's dark. We never have darkness like that. We just don't have it around here. It's so dark. But they're in a dark place, in a dark place, in a dark place. And they're sitting there, and their feet are strapped in these stocks, and they're sitting there, and they're locked in. And what do they decide to do? I exalt thee. And they began to sing unto the Lord. And all the prisoners go, hey, listen to those guys. What are those guys doing? What's that? What's happening? That's cool. Oh. They begin to listen, and they begin to worship. What happens? See, when you do Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, you get to do Holy Spirit things. Many people are saying, where's the miracles today, Pastor? I want to see some miracles in the church. Well, nobody wants to live like this. Nobody wants to live like this. Because you've got to live like this. You've got to live in dependency to have the miracles of God. We'd be calling our lawyers. We'd be having a fit. We'd be talking, man, when you're going to jail, I'm going to sue the pants off you, man. Come on. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. All over, all their chains are falling off. God doesn't do anything without a purpose. There's a miracle behind everything Paul and Silas. See, if you are in his will, even that which the world would call painful, evil, and wicked will turn out for the glory of God. Can you hear me talking today? When you're in the will of God, when you're following God with all of your heart, even what the world would call painful, something that you should sue somebody over, but yet you trust God, God brings about his will through that, even though we can't see it from where we're at. Amen? Look what happens, verse 27. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Why? This is the way it worked. If you lost a prisoner, you had to give your life for that prisoner. And he knew he'd be tortured and all kinds of horrible things would happen to him. So he decided, I might as well just get it over with. And he was going to run himself through. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, don't harm yourself! We're all here! Why were they all there? Because the presence of God had so come on everybody, nobody knew what to do. They were sitting there in awe of God. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh man, that's like red meat in front of a pit bull. Have you ever had someone tell you, what must I do to be saved? They're so ready. They're so prepared by God. They're so hungry for the Lord. Just tell me, man. I want to get right with God. Oh, those are fun. You see, you only get those when you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to them. You see, he told them the initial thing and then he explained it to him, exactly what needed to happen. And he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his household. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all of his family. Why? Because all his family were old enough to understand the gospel. Verse 34. And he brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. God wanted that jailer saved. He needed faithful people to do something that nobody else would do so that he could break into this jailer's life. Here's the weird part about it. We're going to read this next section. you're going to think, what? Paul could have easily gotten out of all of this with one word. Let's read. Verse 35. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, oh, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, I have been beaten. You have beaten us publicly. Uncondemned men, dun, 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 who are Roman citizens. Oh, boy. And have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No. Let them come themselves and take us out. Do you realize all this time, could you imagine Silas going, now you tell them we're Roman citizens? Couldn't you think of that when they were stripping us buck naked in front of the whole crowd and we're strapping our arms up ready to cane us and split our back open? Could you not have said something earlier? And the answer is no. Not if he was going to follow what the Holy Spirit told him. Should we write a new book? How to be beaten for Jesus. You see, those kind of books don't sell well, but every day's a Friday and all's going to go good and 27 positive affirmations you can say over yourself every day. Woo! Those sell like crazy. Why? Because that's selfish. God's called us to be selfless. You see, in the Roman world, if you took a Roman citizen and you beat them and imprisoned them without the proper procedures, the same thing would then be done to you. All these police and all the magistrates and everybody in power would have been caned, whipped, beaten, and thrown in jail. And part of me was kind of like going, yeah, get him. Come on, you're not like that? I want to see them guys stripped buck naked and beaten in the square and thrown in jail for a night. Let's see what happens to them. Let's see if their God answers them. Let's see if Zeus shows up. But what did they do? Verse 38. The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. We are in trouble now. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. You see, the Apostle Paul and Silas had a lot of choices to make at this point. Were they going to be bitter? Were they going to be bitter? Or were they going to be Christians? Were they going to forgive, or were they going to hold unforgiveness towards someone? You see, Paul and Silas's ministry would have stopped that moment and never gone any further if they picked up an offense and became angry. Stopped it, would have stopped it dead. And all the miracles we're about to read in the book of Acts, and you could read in the book of Acts, would have never happened if they would have picked up bitterness and anger and wanted to have revenge on someone who had did them wrong. They had all the rights in the world to do so, but they let it go. Why? Why would they do this? Because they had a passion to win people to Jesus. You see, when you have a passion to win people to Jesus, you have to extend that passion even to the members of your own family who treat you like trash. You don't have a right to pick and choose and say, well, I'll forgive that guy, but these people know better. They're my family, and they treat me like garbage. You can't pick up bitterness because you become what you hate. And through Jesus Christ, we realize that I have offended the living God. And yet, what did he do? He came and died for me. How dare I hold a grudge against any person? I release them in Jesus' name. Many people, their life has stopped and frozen in time because of trauma. You need to be healed from that trauma, and you need to forgive people, and you need to grow up in Jesus and do things for God. Amen? You need to allow God to do a miracle and take the things that are tragic in your life and turn them into a testimony to change the world. How willing are we to do what God has called us to do? How passionate are we about telling people around us, in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, about the great salvation that is found in Jesus Christ? How many people ask, where are the miracles of the Bible? Why is it that nothing is happening all around us here? Too many Americans are willing to let them around them go to hell without ever once attempting to speak to them about Jesus. God is looking for people who will be willing to depend upon Him. We can't hold on to unforgiveness or grudges or prejudice. God's people must be living sacrifices and servants unto the living God. There's no altar call that can make this happen. There is only an inner passion that is developed through the Holy Spirit and the hearing of the Word of God that says, my life needs to be what the Bible calls me to. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to increase my prayer life. I need to get into the Word. I need to be seeking God. I need the Lord. And sometimes you have to fight for your time. And sometimes if you're a mom or a dad and got a bunch of kids, your only time is when you're driving in the car. Well, spend that time driving in the car, calling out on the name of the Lord, seeking God. And there is no boundaries whatsoever to those who will listen to the things of God. Amen? Do not say you are too old to do something. Do not say you're too young to do something. Don't say that I can't do it because of this reason or that reason. God will use anybody who will make themselves available. If we only had as much passion for winning the lost as we do for this coming NFL football season. Or whatever is the thing that gets you going. It's okay. My whole family's going to gather at our house and we're going to eat barbecues down in the basement and watch the football game at noon when we're done with church. Sounds good, doesn't it? Nothing wrong with that. But we've got to have a passion for Jesus. We've got to have such a desire to know Him and to share Him. And it starts when God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Your marriage could be a mess. Your life could be a mess. Everything could be broken, it seems, around you. But when you give your life to Jesus, He changes everything. He will bring you up and out of that situation, but you have to trust Him. You have to be consistent, and you must seek His face. And God's going to do marvelous things. Does anybody want this like I do? I want it. I really, 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 really want it to be about Jesus. I want to build a foyer, but I don't think people are going to come to our church for a foyer. Right? I didn't even take an offering for it. Why? Because I wanted to get to the Word today. I want us to reach people. And here's the deal. How does the church grow? Jesus makes it grow. But let me tell you, the church cannot grow without God's people being filled with the Holy Spirit, listening to Him. There is much on earth that has not happened that God wanted to happen that are marvelous things. There is much more that God wants to do in this church, and through you than you could ever imagine. The question is, will you reorient your life to seek the face of God like never before? And begin to have those times. It could be only, these times sometimes are only times that are 10 minutes long, where you just get with the Lord and say, God, I've got to have it. God, I've got to have more of you. Lord, I just long for you. God, I want to win somebody to Jesus. I want to pray with somebody. I want to lay hands on the sick. God, I want to see you move. God, I dedicate myself to this. And we seek Him. And then we go about our day. And then we get another 5 minutes and we're praying. And then we work a little bit more and we get another 10 minutes. We pray and we just seek Him, seek Him, seek Him, seek Him. Our life is all about that. Amen. Amen. Don't you think you are at the wrong place? You're too old, you're too young, you're too this, you're too that. God can use you right now. Let's stand together. Come on. Would you start that seeking right now? Let's start that seeking in this room. Start telling him, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be used by you. Come on. Lift your voice. Say, God, I want to be used by you. God, I want to be filled with you. Lord, I want to reach the lost. Lord, I got to see it. God, I got to have this happen. It's okay to make verbal noise. Lord, we just hunger for more of you. Lord, we hunger for more of you. Lord, our families need it. Lord, there's spouses represented in this room that need Jesus. We don't know how to do it. We've got children and grandchildren represented in this room that need Jesus. We've got neighbors and people we go to school with, people we work with that need Jesus. Oh, God. And we don't know how to do it. We don't know how. But you do, and we make ourselves available to you. God, use our lives, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. Let's begin to just pray in the Spirit before the Lord. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Oh, God, fill us with you.